Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is a show that we get an opportunity to chat with and learn from some of Atlanta's top executives and business owners. And many times we get a chance to delve into some of their experiences that they've had in business, some of their challenges, some of the successes that they've had. And this morning, we've got Jenny Rodriguez, who is a strategy execution executive with us. And I've known Jenny for probably seven months or so through a wonderful group called Kettering, which is a networking executive networking group where she happens to be on the leadership council. We'll get into that a little bit later. But welcome in, Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Maybe you could give myself and the listeners a little bit more background on work experience and kind of what you have done and what you do now.
Okay, thanks. So, you know, through my career, I've had sort of an eclectic career, if you will. I actually started in very small family-owned companies, doing a wide variety of things, but predominantly doing what would today be known as your chief operations officer work. So helping to align the manufacturing and the distribution with your customer service, essentially basically everything in an organization outside of the sales and the finance organizations. I actually migrated mid-career into major Fortune 10 companies and have worked at both General Electric in a division of Capital, GE Capital, as well as working for Coca-Cola Enterprises. So the thread that runs through my career is really helping organizations to align strategy to how they work and how their people work, whether it's with their technology, their people, or their processes.
And you've been doing this for at the executive level for how long?
More years than I want to say.
we won't give any more secrets.
Probably about, I would say about 15, 20 years.
Okay. And I noticed on your card, strategy execution. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what that really is.
So strategy execution is actually rather difficult to define in that many organizations see it and hear it very differently. But at its very base level, a strategy, a person I was chatting with last week talked about strategy as being something about the way an organization changes its thinking. So changing its thinking about the way it goes to market or its technologies or even the way the product and services that they're delivering. So if you think about your strategy as being a change in thinking, and then you think about execution is really using knowledge and tools to make something happen rather than just having those tools, but actually using them in a manner or style to get results. So strategy execution is all about using tools and knowledge to deliver on where an organization is trying to get to in the future.
Right. That's a great way. That's a very good definition.
Thank you.
So working with larger companies, a GE and mm-hmm. some of these larger organizations, that must be like turning an oil tanker, you know, changing thinking right. within these massive organizations. How do you do that?
So same way as you eat an elephant, one bite at a time.
Okay.
It is a massive undertaking, and a lot depends on how an organization views change and views its strategies. So in some organizations, you know, change is about something that has to happen. It's not necessarily perceived as a direction that wants to be moved toward. It's more perceived as changing the status quo. So in organizations that do strategy execution well, they've adopted the principles that the only constant is change. And they've developed a culture around delivering that change in a framework that allows the organization to focus on what they're changing, not how they're changing.
How do they institute the type of organization or the type of mindset within an organization that creates change? Because most people really kind of push back on change. They'd much rather get into their little box and kind of come into work and do their little thing and get paid and go on down the road, right?
Right.
So how does a company decide and actually make that something that's part of their culture?
You know, for me, what I've seen across the years and through the different companies is it really starts from the top. You know, it's an old adage, but it absolutely is true. It starts from the top. It starts with the leadership embracing the concept that you need to have a framework and a methodology in which to change. So a couple of examples. So you think back to the early days of Six Sigma at General Electric and brand new way of working, huge organization. But what made it successful from the very beginning was that the top leadership were evangelical about it. They, you know, they drove it home. It was in every word of every day. They put leadership development criteria to it. They made their performance measures aligned to it. So really walked the walk, not only talked the walk. And it really starts from that leadership commitment. It also starts with creating an organization where being part of the group, if you will, that's doing transformation or change is seen as a career enhancer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of the leadership track. It's what you do if you want to continue to be a growing leader in the organization. In organizations where it doesn't work so well, oftentimes what happens with projects is they're seen as what I would call the back porch. So someone is no longer required in the way their current role is, so they shuffle them to a project, if you will, which is then perceived as the step before you actually leave the organization. In those organizations, change is exceptionally difficult.
Right. So in our industry, in my kind of training, that we have a phrase coined creative destruction. Which is you've got to break something down if you're going to grow. You know, you get into a certain piece or area, mm-hmm. and you get to a certain level, and you just get into this area that will eventually fail, and then you have to kind of break that down to start over almost again. And a lot of times that happens from newer, more upstart companies. Have you found that have you worked much with smaller companies that this really is? It's not just kind of what they'd like to do, it's kind of what they have to do.
Right. I haven't worked directly with a lot of the smaller companies, but the same principles apply. It is around making sure that you're not complacent about what you're doing today, because you need one foot on today and one foot on tomorrow. So term I use with my clients is you need to be looking at starting new work and stopping old work in the same space.
Right.
Because what happens if you don't stop the old work, to your point, you know, change is difficult for organizations. So people become comfortable and complacent, and you aren't effective or efficient in the old work. And as your resources need to be channeled into the newer work, it becomes a luxury to continue work. Whereas if you're focusing on that together, to your point around creatively destroying it, you're sort of doing that simultaneous.
Yeah.
And you're using tools that allow you to focus on the activity, not the people. And that's where the challenge with change comes, is that unless you've made it and people understand what's in it for them, it becomes very difficult to move them forward.
There are all sorts of reasons or issues or difficulties that I'm sure you've faced. But what are the things that you found that have been really consistent with people that are putting it back and really pushing back on change in terms of implementing? Because you broke it down into two different parts. Part of it was having change as a goal or thinking about change, and then the next is really implementing it. So on the implementation side, where have you seen the biggest pushback?
where I have seen the biz pushback in two areas. One is where we as leaders have not done a good job of really helping the people understand what that change means to them personally. That's the first step. You know, because if you can't adopt it and buy into it, it's hard to deliver the message to the next person. So the first and foremost is helping to understand at a very personal level what's in it for the individual. And the second one is the speed at which you're trying to adopt the change and the amount of change you're trying to go through sometimes just doesn't go through the funnel. There is, you know, there's a concept called the roller coaster of change. And so you kind of go along this roller coaster and, yeah, sounds like a great idea. And then sort of you sink into, well, where am I in this? And what does it mean for me? And how am I going to have to change my world? And then as you begin to take them back up to understanding not only their alignment with the new change, but you take away that fear that there will harm will come to them.
Right.
And sometimes, I mean, let's be honest, in change and in organizations, reorganization is part of the way that we work in this country today. And so part of reorganization is helping individuals, because we're really talking about people here, to understand if there is no role for them in the future current change, how do you prepare them to move forward? Whether that's transferring skills, teaching them to go out and do something they've not done for a long time. Yeah. I worked for an organization that really had been in a status quo mode for many, many years, 20 years. And so the individuals in my group had really never gone out and looked for a role in 20 years or brought their skills up to be coherent in a modern world. So part of our transition, knowing we were in a declining business model and we were downsizing the organization, was really devoting the time and attention to those individuals to help them understand how to change and what skills they had that could take them forward.
So From the employee standpoint, that's some of the complications. What about from management and the top? Obviously, it has to come from the top, like you said before.
Right.
But even when it comes and they say, well, I know we need to do this, and they might kind of go in kicking and screaming to a certain degree, then what kind of challenges do you have actually implementing it with them?
So there are a couple of different areas. One is, how do you balance your resources against, you must keep the current business running while you work on moving the future organization? So there's that constant push and pull of your resource constraints. The second one is, how do you as a leadership team align your performance and your measures and your success goals to be rewarding to both the current run the business as well as the future, more this isn't going to deliver maybe in the short term, and align your goals for them?
Yeah, that's got to be a difficult balance beam to walk on.
It is a difficult. And I would say the third one is really, it's around building a culture of disciplined execution. So it's not a once and done. It's not, you know, many projects have big names. So it's not a once and done. And once the project's done, we're finished. It's, how do you have this continual framework and environment where today we're working on project X, but next year we're going to work on project Y, because there's always a 3-year plan. Mm-hmm. There's always something future that you're working toward.
Yeah. If you're not growing or changing, you're dying, right?
Yes.
Maybe you could give us an example of a scenario that you've taken a company through, or that you've done while you're at either GE or one of the other companies you had worked with, that really kind of puts the exclamation point on this whole process.
So I was working with an organization, and they were in the midst of having a very large project being rolled out to multiple field locations. And it was an organization that was accustomed to each and every field location being very entrepreneurial and doing things the way they need to do in their local market. And so we took a step back and we helped to build out a tool set of, you know, here is a very broad-based, these are the success metrics you must meet, and here are the tools with which you can meet them. And if you use this methodology. So we standardized the way the change was done,
right,
and we rolled that out across the organization, which was highly successful. It allowed the organization to see one way to the future. The other example I will give is I worked with an organization that was doing a very large technology change. And the technology change, again, the current state was coming from multiple iterations of your current state. And so rather than having one development team, we created three development teams. And so the first development team was really focused on taking the organization to the current state. So we get a standardized current state. So they were going out using tools like Lean, which drives out waste, or some of your Six Sigma tools, which drives out variation, and getting them to the same current state so that when you move to the technology, you were all starting from the same spot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, so the second team then focused on understanding, you know, the technology development and the design and how did that align to your strategies and your processes and people. And then the third team actually came in at the point that you went live on the technology, the new technology, to optimize the processes within the new technology.
Huh.
So you think about standardizing your current state, which
yep.
is a space many people don't necessarily understand if there's value there or not,
right.
but it allows you to then take that from current state to new technology the same. And then you take a second team, and they're a little slightly different skill sets, so
yep.
it's very focused on then taking and optimizing in the future technology state.
And were most of these people on the team internal, or are these people that you're hiring out as consultants?
So I've seen it work both ways. I've actually worked with organizations, one that were very preferred to work with external consultants and organizations that prefer to stay internal. There is no right or wrong way. If you use external resources, they bring a level of expertise you may not yet have in your organization, but they may also leave with that expertise. If you work with internal organization people in the organization, there's a longer ramp up to getting people in the organization to have the right skills,
mm-hmm.
As well as to break a little bit of the paradigm. Well, I know how it's done now, so I have a harder time seeing how I might look at it going forward.
Right.
In my best scenario, I think it's a combination. I think you do need a core set of individuals who understand how to use the tools that that particular organization has adopted to drive change and to be able to spread that in a way that the organization begins to get it infused into the organization. So I like the concept where individuals come into a transformation program or a strategy execution program. They learn the different tools and techniques. They learn how to go out and deliver those to the organization. And then they actually go back out in the organization and take a different role, but still have that background.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to seed the organization. At the same time, you will always have more projects than you have people. That's business 101.
Yeah.
And many times you really need, given the demands from the market and the speed of change, you need to rely on external assistance for those.
Interesting how each one of those scenarios you approach differently. One, clearly a independent thinking organization where they had kind of satellites that had the opportunity to really think and do their business mm-hmm. on their own way. And you approach that by saying, okay, that's all fine and good, but we still need to accomplish this. How do we handle that kind of company culture and have them accept it? And you basically said, look, here's what you need to do. Go do it, right?
It's kind of,
you said, you make it happen. If you need something, come back to me,
right?
Mm-hmm. And the next one, where it was more of a controlled process, you took a three-step process of, all right, what are you doing? How are you going to make these adjustments? And then, okay, now here's the new technology that we're bringing into the whole project. It's almost like you're paving the runway for the plane to land and then making sure it doesn't crash on the way down.
Right.
Eh? That's neat. Good stuff. So what kind of things challenge organizations with this change that makes it not work? It just falls on its face. What do they need to look out for?
So a couple of different things. One is the concept that this is the project du jour.
Right.
You know, if an organization believes that all projects occur in either your operating entities or very low into the organization, it will fail because leadership isn't behind it. A second way that it fails is if the organization doesn't brand it effectively, okay? Because like any product or service, you need to have enthusiasm around it. People need to understand what it is when they see and touch it and feel it.
Right.
So I am a huge proponent of you must brand it that makes sense in an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I mean, if you're in a highly technical organization, it's going to be branded in one way. If it's a highly creative, marketing-driven organization, it's going to be very, very different. And I would say the third thing is, oftentimes, because a lot of strategy execution deals around program and project management as well as continuous improvement, it is a death knell to this work if it is seen as merely cost out.
Yeah.
If the organization sees, oh, that's just cost out, and that's a direct result, a cost out is a direct result of not managing through the whole stop the old work when you're starting new work rhythm on a regular continuous basis.
I mean, if cost out, I'm presuming it's just an expense. There's no profit on the backside.
That's correct. Yeah. So it's really focused on. So you'll often hear people say, "Oh, Six Sigma, well, that's just taking cost out." Okay, right. And to a certain extent, you're right. If your organization has become fat, if you will, or heavy, because you built an organization to deliver a product or service that was at one level of revenue. And if your business has migrated to a different level, products have life cycles, services have life cycles, the revenues may begin to go. And if you're not maintaining the efficiencies, you will become less effective as you move through. Right. That's an opportunity to go out and grab money.
Right. Yep.
Cost out.
So in an environment where you could paint the picture, what kind of an organization do you think you would work best within? I mean, who is your perfect organization to be involved with or working with?
For me, it's an organization that understands the need to be disciplined about that, how they move from a strategic plan to results. So disciplined about how you build the roadmap, disciplined about understanding that it's the people in the organization that need to have the tools and techniques to be able to work in an environment where you focus on the work and not the people. Typically, organizations that really need to start this is an organization that may be going through high acquisition mode. So you have a constant churn of introducing new people, new processes, and new activities into the organization and integrating them. Organizations that are growing very, very rapidly on their current business model and will then have to at some point take a right turn to wherever the next decision takes them.
Yeah.
You think of many technology companies today, whether you're talking, you know, RIM or Google or Yahoo, all of them go through this huge growth peak, and it's sort of then all of a sudden the market demands a change and
They're behind the eight ball. They haven't really
you may be behind the eight ball. You may not be able to move your people or your processes fast enough. So keeping that continual rhythm going is really the type of organization. And last but certainly not least is an organization whose leadership is committed to understanding that executing is a discipline. It's, you know, your mom told you eat your vegetables for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And so the same thing goes there. It's not fun necessarily. It's not sexy. It's not perceived as going out and creating a new market or a new product. But it's the steady, eddy, disciplined work that allows an organization to use that framework to move it through very quickly.
So when employees see you coming, they're like, oh, man, here we go. Here comes Jenny.
Well, they come.
I know. Here we go. Something's changing. We're gonna have to get outside the box in our comfort zone, right?
You know, one of my personal challenges is that I love change.
Okay? Yeah. Okay.
So I grew up in many, many locations, and I love change, and I love looking forward and seeing where the organization can go. But because I love change, I don't necessarily always understand those who don't.
Which is like everyone else.
Yeah. So I can sometimes, you know, see, it's hard for me to then say, okay, so, but what is the barrier? So pulling back and understanding from the other, wearing the other shoes and really understanding what that barrier is really... is probably the challenge. But on the flip side, because I love change and I love to really get people excited and really talking about, well, what does it mean? You know, so how does that strategy translate into the way I work and you know, the product I deliver? Love to get people in a room and let them focus on using these kinds of tools to get to the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I love giving a framework so that you can work within it and come out with an answer rather than focusing on now how do we do this?
Mm-hmm.
it's very exciting when people walk into the organization, into a room, and really go through these processes and facilitate them through. It's really exciting to see walking out and owning the result.
That's fun. Yeah. That's fun. So the what do you think is the key to doing that? I mean, you've got a group of people that are going, oh gosh, here's Jenny. And she's all fired up about the next big thing. And last time I went through it, it was a lot of work. And here we go again. And changing them from that mentality. And your job as a COO or whatever your title might be is to get them on board and actually make it happen. How do you do that?
So in two ways. One is to give them the right tools and the right environment in which to execute through whatever the problem may be. So give them the right tool set. The second way is to encourage failure. Encourage people to get to the answer fast, so that if it's the wrong answer, we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is really, it's a constant evangelic. It's constantly just out there helping people to understand that is this aligned to success for the organization?
Right.
And being able to articulate that at a very simple level is really the job of leadership.
Yeah.
It's to help them to understand where we're going and why this will help us get there.
It's painting that vision and getting them to buy into it and getting excited about what it's all about and go, oh, I get it. And you know what? I do like that picture better than the one we've got right now. And now I'm willing to do what I have to do to make those changes, which are not easy for most people.
Right. And, and I will also say on the other side, one of the phrases I always use with organizations to help them understand is, you're at a bridge. And at the end of the day, 5% just won't be able to cross the bridge for whatever reason. There can be 100 different reasons. Not interested, don't have the skill set, don't understand the change, just won't line. And so it's the role of the leaders also to say, I can't spend, the bulk of my time on that 5%. I need to get the 95% across and move it forward.
Mm-hmm.
But doing that in a way that is right for the people.
Perfect. And I know that I wanted to talk a little bit about Kettering, mm-hmm. about Ken, and congratulations on on your promotion to the leadership role there. There's only, I think, eight.
There's seven.
Seven people on the mm-hmm. leadership team, and you're one of them. I think you're the most recent promotee.
I am the most recent promotee.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us just really quickly about Ken and what your role is with Kettering.
So Kettering is a local Atlanta-based organization that started 10 years ago, and they're really a member-based organization. So they're a 501c6, which for those who don't know, it's not a nonprofit per se. It's a membership organization. And really, truly, their purpose is to provide a place where executives, both in transient job transition as well as actively employed or in businesses of their own, can come together and be a community of like-minded individuals where they can learn from each other, they can network with each other, and really share it forward in understanding how to help the executive community in Atlanta really be strong and vibrant. I came into it in the spring as a result of I am in job transition as well. And it was introduced to me. And, it's just an organization that's very unique in its own way. It provides people a safe place. It provides lots of information. And so earlier this summer, they asked me to be a part of the leadership team. And really, the number one reason that they asked me to be on the leadership team was because of the tools I bring about how do you move an organization from where it is today to where it would like to be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so really asked me to come and help guide them in that journey as we look at, we're at our 10-year mark, why we were formed isn't necessarily where we're going to be in the next 10 years.
Exactly.
So how do we make that change and still stay true to your values and your purpose and it is a journey. It's not something you can do on a dime.
Yeah. Well, they're lucky to have you.
Well, thank you.
And I think the first female on the leadership team as well.
I believe I'm the second.
Second.
I'm the only at the moment, but I do believe there was an individual before me, and she paved the way as well.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's, in the leadership team is comprised of individuals who have really grown up with Kettering. And, you know, it's part of who they are every single day, and as well as some newer individuals who bring a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So just like in any organization, melding the purpose and the minds of everyone can be a fun activity.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to wrap up today with one more question, and that is your pearl of wisdom. What would you say to our listeners as a pearl of wisdom?
So my point, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but as you think about how do you take yourself, your organization from, you know, the day-to-day activities, and you're running hard to make sure you're meeting payroll or getting the product out the door or meeting the demands of the market, you know, how do you also make sure that you've allocated the right resources and time and effort to making sure that you will be just as effective tomorrow? So, you know, in my mind, that is about, first and foremost, drive it from the top. Make sure that it is important, that it is measured, and that it has value. Secondly, brand it. Brand it, make it what something in your organization that is right, and make it fun. And the third one I would say is don't get caught up in the tools. I hear all too often, oh, you know, we can't do Six Sigma here because it just doesn't work. The tools are simply there to be tools. You don't buy every tool at Home Depot when you do a home repair project. You don't need every tool when you go to try to make any kind of strategy execution. But you do need to have a group of tools that you're willing to use and able to use and that the organization can use.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about driving it from the top. It's about making sure it's branded, and it's about using the right tools that are appropriate for the work that you're trying to do.
Perfect. So, Jenny, we appreciate you coming on today. You did a great job, and I would like, is it okay if you hand out any information in terms of contact?
Absolutely.
What's the best way to get in contact?
Best way, you can either use the number that's on my business card, or you can use my email address as well.
Okay, what would those be?
So my telephone number is 224-659-2257. And yes, it is a Chicago number. I've drug it around for a few years.
That's right.
And you can also reach me at Jenny Rodriguez. That's jennirodriguez@gmail.com.
And you're also on LinkedIn.
And I am on LinkedIn.
All right. Well, Jenny, thank you very
thank
much
you.
For taking the time today and joining us. For our listeners, we appreciate your time and look forward to next week's show. Until then, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. We'll be right back.